Welcome to the Grow Your Business and Grow Your Wealth podcast with Gary Helt. Gary is an expert in helping business owners put together a plan that will provide a better future for their businesses, themselves, and their families. On the podcast, Gary interviews other professionals who share his vision, and together they share secrets and strategies any business owner can use to build a better financial foundation for your business and your life.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, our guest is Eric Jaffe with Mosaic Wealth Partners. Welcome, Eric.
Gary, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate it.
So, Eric, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got to where you are now being the CEO and founder of Mosaic.
Great. So I'm a financial planner, financial advisor. I work with individuals, couples, businesses, generally helping them plan for and meet their financial goals. Depending on the client, this can involve developing a comprehensive financial plan, setting up and managing retirement plans or accounts, managing assets. Some instances I help assess and handle insurance related needs. So it really varies client to client, but it's a kind of broad range of financial services. I didn't start in this field. So how I got here, a little, I guess, somewhat unusual. I started my professional career as an attorney. I practiced law for 5 years at a private firm in Washington, D.C. And then I was an assistant United States attorney in the civil division of the U.S. Attorney's Office, also in D.C. I really enjoyed working with clients and developing strategies to help them reach their goals in the legal context. In particular, I found that I really enjoyed analyzing a case, the facts of the case, determining different possible ways to handle a matter, and then advising clients on the best way to move forward. Unfortunately, I found I wasn't doing enough of that as an attorney. We had pretty large corporate clients at the firm and obviously governmental entities at the U.S. Attorney's Office. So I wasn't quite getting as much personal contact with individuals as I really wanted. So I decided to explore other positions, either within the law or outside of the law, where I could work more on strategizing and advising with the individual clients. And I had always had a personal interest in finance, planning, investing. So it just was a natural leap to take the legal training and experience and move it over to the financial.
Wow, that's definitely kind of a different path. I've talked to quite a few people that have, gone down the accounting world and decided to hop over, or maybe marketing and hop over, but I've never had an attorney decide to get over in the financial advising fields.
Yeah, it was a little different, but I'm glad, very glad I made the move.
Right. So you kind of touched on that, being the attorney and what you were doing, you weren't really having as much contact with individuals as you do now. What is it about, working with individual clients or businesses that kind of makes Eric get up in the morning excited about what he does?
Yeah, that's a great question. Particularly enjoy, and this is what I liked about practicing law. And like I said, I just wasn't doing enough of it. I find it particularly rewarding to help people get to where they want to be. And so it could be in a legal context, it could be in a financial context. There was a brief moment in college when I was pre-med. The theme, though, was always I really wanted to work with people to help them get where they want to be. And so what I really find most enjoyable is being able to do that and do that as much as I possibly can. But that's really what motivates me when getting up in the morning, when meeting a new client or new potential client, is really just the thought of being able to help them get from point A to point B.
So, and obviously, you've had different fields that you've worked in. What is it that you know now that you wish you knew when you originally kind of started out?
So another really good question. You know, honestly, when I think about things, I think I have a much better appreciation now for the fact that many, even though many different situations arise with unique characteristics, there are certain big picture trends that remain consistent, especially from a financial perspective. So, you know, for example, if we take at a very simplistic level, you look at the tech bubble bursting in the early 2000s, you look at the financial crisis in 07, 08, look at the pandemic today. You know, all of these have unique causes and consequences. But from a financial perspective, you can see market patterns of loss, volatility, and then recovery. And I think that those patterns are in some sense consistent. And I think this is important because when you're living during each of these types of crises, you have this sense of this hasn't happened before. The old rules don't apply. The norm isn't really the norm anymore. And I can't tell you how many times during those three different periods I had clients come to me and say, this time is different. And yeah, in some respects, it really is different, but the reality is, you know, careful planning in advance of these situations, having a defined and effective strategy and plan on how to handle unusual situations, even if they're unique in some respects, really goes a long way to helping us avoid making emotional decisions during stressful times. And I think a lot of times those are the decisions we look back on and regret. So, you know, I'm not sure I, in all honesty, could have known this back then.
Right.
But I think it was having the experience of living during these times, advising people, managing their money through these different times that has led me to appreciate this. But it really does make a big difference. And since we're looking back in this, you know, conversation, that's what I wish I knew, because I think this different perspective helps me to give the best advice to folks. And I think it helps clients remain calm during times that are otherwise, you know, prone to panic.
Right. Now, what are some of the questions that you wish clients were asking or potential clients were asking when they're meeting with you?
To me, the most important thing to know when choosing a financial advisor or any professional is, can I trust this person?
Right.
You know, my industry in particular and regulators of my industry are really taking a lot of steps to try and make sure that advisors keep the best interests of their clients at heart. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But I know when I talk to any professional with whom I'm considering working, I'm trying to get a feel for, does this person truly care about his or her clients? Are they really concerned with doing what they do well? Because I don't want to just be another paycheck for someone who I am trusting to give sound advice on important issues. And so I want to matter to them. And to me, when you say, you know, what do I think clients or prospective clients should be asking? It's whatever the questions are that gives them the comfort level that I'm doing this. Yes, this is how I make a living, but I'm doing this because I want to make sure they are taken care of. And I want to make sure that I am proud of what I do, that I do it to the best of my ability. And I think people don't do that enough. They read online, ask if there's this designation, or ask if they handle this type of work or what their fees are, all of which are important. So I think those should be asked. But I think that people should ask more questions to really get a sense of the person with whom they're going to work.
Right. I totally agree with that. And I mean, sometimes I know I have found that, you know, I've met potential clients and it's not a right fit. It's just the way that they think and the way that I think and do things are a little bit different. And there's nothing wrong with that. And sometimes it's, you know, I've referred them to, you know, other CPAs because it's just it's not a good fit with us. And I think that, you know, that's what you're saying is that you have to trust somebody. And if there's not that fit, then there's just not going to be that level of comfort. And I think that that's something that's important.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I do the same. I mean, what I tell people when they've been referred to me or they call me for the first time is, let's talk and make sure that we both think this is a good potential working relationship. I mean, we both have to have that comfort level. And really, there are some folks that I've said, I can do what you want, but I think there are people who can do it better. And right. And I think you got to have, you need to have the feeling that this person is willing to tell you that so that you know that they're really looking out for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think it's important to find, you know, in everything that you do, the different advisors that are going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Because I think that's important also.
I completely agree.
So what are some of the biggest fears that that your clients are having, and how are you helping them overcome those fears?
You know, I obviously, to some extent, client concerns and fears vary, and you also got short-term issues of unexpected expenses. How am I going to handle this versus longer-term issues? You know, can I retire? When can I retire? How can I maintain a standard of living? But I do think that, you know, a recurring concern, which I'm sure is consistent amongst most advisors, is a general fear or concern that clients have of outliving their money. Mm-hmm. In retirement.
Right.
And you know, the reality is it's quite a change, emotionally, mentally, to go from earning and saving money to living off of what you've accumulated. And that's a big change, and it's a big transition. And I understand that creating a lot of anxiety in folks. I think you've also got related issues of increasing longevity, concerns about the viability of Social Security, rising healthcare costs, long-term care issues, and all of these combined, so that I think you've got, you are approaching and entering what is a very anxiety-inducing time. I'm not going to generate income. I'm going to live off of my assets. I've got to worry, how long am I going to live? How much is it going to cost? Healthcare, et cetera, et cetera. So that to me is almost a universal concern that I see across clients, even of all ages, you know, not usually the folks in their 20s, but if we get into 30s, 40s, this starts cropping up as a legitimate issue. So, you know, I try to address these through the planning process and preparing in advance of retirement, as well as analyzing and reviewing situations as we get closer and closer, and then in retirement itself. I think you need frequent check-ins to make sure, are we on track? Has something changed? If so, what, and how do we adapt to the change? You know, a financial plan is just a picture at any one point in time. And the reality is the view changes all the time. So we need new pictures. And we got to say, all right, now that things have changed, what do we need to do differently? But I find that helping folks understand how they're doing regularly with respect to meeting their needs, it really goes a long way to alleviating a lot of these concerns. And you know, we do have some conversations about, you know, if situations or conditions change substantially, we might need to adjust. We might need to cut spending at times of crisis in the markets or when other unexpected expenses come up. But you know, I think it's important for a lot of people that they manage their assets in a way to be aware of their goals, be aware of how they're doing with respect to their goals, and make sure that the asset management and the lifestyle are lined up together. Right. So I just find that frequent analysis and check-ins on this is really how we help calm a lot of these fears.
So how often do you check in with your clients? And I know that that's going to vary, but so for our listeners to know, at a minimum, how often should you be meeting or talking with your financial advisor?
So that's a great question. And it's really funny because I love what I do and I love talking about all of these issues. So I tell anyone, you know, a prospective client comes to me and I tell them, we can talk as often as you want. I mean, this to me is fun. So you want to check in every month? We'll check in every month. Now some of those months, it could just be, hey, status quo, nothing really significant has changed. But if that provides a peace of mind, that's important. Because what I tell folks all the time is no matter when we've scheduled the next appointment, no matter how frequently we've agreed to talk, I don't ever want someone being anxious or worried. Call me, okay? Because those times of heightened anxiety, number one, aren't good for anyone. And number two, that's when bad decisions get made. So call me and let's talk through something. But this all being said, you know, what I tell people is I want to talk to you at least once a year. Okay. But I would generally, for most folks, prefer it be 2 to 4 times a year. Now I have clients that I literally have to drag kicking and screaming to a meeting or a Zoom to check in because they say, hey, Eric, I trust you and things are as close to on autopilot as I'd like them to be. But to me, life moves and you need to at least check in and make sure that nothing significant has changed requiring an update to a plan. But I think for a lot of folks, 1 to 2 times a year is probably good enough.
So what are the, you know, besides not meeting with you to go over things, what are some of the mistakes that you're seeing clients make?
You know, I would say the biggest mistake that I see a number of folks make is not adjusting their investment strategy when they get to a point where their assets are in line with having them meet their goals. And this really, it can go both ways. So some people are so used to the growth mentality, right? We spend the vast majority of our adult life building the wealth, that it's very, very hard for some people to say, I've accumulated what I need to be on track or very, very likely on track to live the life I want to lead. And therefore I need to pare back a little in how aggressive I'm investing. It's a change that doesn't occur naturally. Right. And I think for some folks, they also don't know when, right? When is enough? When have I accumulated enough that I can say I don't need to swing for the fences in my investments anymore? Same issue, but handled differently, is some folks just get too conservative. So they start approaching retirement, they get into retirement, and there's this mentality that I can't afford any volatility anymore. Right. But the truth is, you know, for most of us, we are hoping to live in an extended period of retirement that could be 20 or 30 years long. Right. We have to worry about inflation eroding our buying power. We have to worry about healthcare costs and other unexpected expenses. And so we really need to make sure that we are investing for this kind of sweet spot in the middle, not too aggressive, not too conservative. And I find that these actually require a little more foresight and planning and therefore oftentimes because of the complexity of what we're talking about, people err on the side of maintaining an aggressiveness they don't have to or shifting to a conservativeness that's too much.
Right. Now, tell us, why is it important to use a professional like you to help manage their money? Why is it important?
Right. So my opinion is everyone needs a financial plan. Okay. That does not mean everyone needs a 100-page book documenting their financial life and times.
Right.
But I think everyone has to have at least some sense of where they are and where they want to be. And so I view my role as helping clients understand their current financial situation, helping them to articulate and crystallize their financial goals, and then getting a sense for what steps, if any, they need to take to make these goals a reality. So, you know, I often tell clients, I want to give them the knowledge about the pros and cons of different approaches so they can make informed decisions when prioritizing how they want to live, okay? How they want to work, how they want to save. There are decisions along the way that they need to make, but that they need to be informed and educated about. And I've had quite a few clients, you know, call me a financial therapist. Right. Because, you know, a lot of times issues require just calming, laying out of the facts, the options, and letting them make their informed decision with full knowledge. And I think this is really where a lot of my value lies. I think it's helping people to understand their needs, their goals, and the financial realities of making certain decisions. Yes, you can do X, but then you're not going to be able to do Y. Or if you do A right now, in the future, B will be a possibility. So I think laying that out is really what helps people make decisions throughout their professional lives and into and through retirement.
Great. So, you know, we've covered a lot so far. What is it that I haven't asked you that you wish I had?
You know, you've asked a lot of really good questions. I think one thing that we could certainly talk about is, you know, some of the challenges facing the industry and you know, what things should people be aware of in terms of affecting finances and financial planning. And if I could answer my own question.
Yes, please do.
I would just say that you know, when I work with folks, I try to understand their specific situation and cater to their individual needs and goals. You know, one of the concerns I have in general about the industry and just about the environment is I'm not a big fan of a one-size-fits-all approach. And I think that, you know, and I should say, I'm not a big fan of that, whether it's in investment advice or strategy or financial planning and guidance. And I think with advances in technology, you know, that have happened, it's so easy to voice an opinion on the internet and sounds authoritative. Mm-hmm. That I feel that more people are spouting, you know, financial advice that purportedly applies to just about anyone. And you know, my concern is that there are a lot of folks out there who are getting kind of this generic advice that maybe really isn't best for their specific situation. And, you know, I think that we just need to all keep in mind that the one size generally does not fit all. And I think it's important to get the guidance you need for you specifically in making some of these important decisions.
Yeah, I have to agree with you with that. I mean, I have so many people that they come into us and tell us, oh, well, you know, my next door neighbor's accountant is writing this off and writing that off. And lots of times you don't really truly understand what is going on behind their closed doors type thing. So they may be saying that, but they may not really be doing it. Or, you know, in your case with the finances, it's like, you know, I may need more, you know, long-term care in my retirement than you may need. So we have to plan differently. And I think that is very important that everybody has to understand that everybody's tax plan and estate plan and financial plan is going to be different. No two people are going to have the same exact plan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that it's important, you know, picking up tips, be it on the internet or from your neighbor or you know, your uncle who is an accountant or advisor or investment manager, these are all great and can all be brought to the person advising you specifically. I welcome it. I say, hey, if you've got, you know, a tip or you think, hey, why aren't we doing this? Or should we look at doing that? Or why are we doing what we're doing? Let's talk about it, because I think the more education we have, the better. But I think you should have the person handling your situation involved in these, instead of just taking some generic advice that really may not apply to your
story. 100%. Eric, if people like what they've heard today and they want to be able to reach out to you, how can they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So my our firm website is mosaicwp.com, which is mosaicwp.com. Office phone number is 877-840-0770. We got a generic mailbox there for the firm. I'm at extension 103. And my email is ejaffe@mosaicwp.com.
Great. Really appreciate your time today. Our guest on the show has been Eric Jaffe, who's the CEO and co-founder of Mosaic Wealth Partners. Appreciate your time.
Gary, I really appreciate it. Thank you again.
This show has been produced by Market Domination, LLC. To discover how you can have your own show completely done for you and turn it into a real published book and become the authority in your marketplace, go to www.marketdominationllc.com/podcast offer.